In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Anyway, organising a wedding is of course a huge task, but for many people it's something of a golden time in their life, full of expectation and excitement. Some of those people, though, particularly brides, may feel a bit of a dip afterwards, what's called the post-wedding blues. Sarah Kennedy has been writing about this on the Irish Wedding Blog. Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hello, thanks so much for having me.
You can imagine how you know, there's this big build-up to the day and you're getting all this attention and you're in the midst of it and then, boom, it's back to normality again.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? It is, it's almost like being thrust back into the pits of hell with nothing to look forward to. So is it any wonder that there is such a thing? But it is it's a real thing. And it is one of those things that not many people actually talk about.
Yeah. I can imagine, because it's kind of a,
there's a guilt to it, yeah. Almost. So when it comes around, there's this almost like, what's going on? Why do I feel so down? Am I happy in my married life? And all of these sort of emotions, because people haven't quite contextualized what exactly this is. But I would have seen over years and years of brides sending me messages and going through and saying, you know, working with couples when I used to be a wedding coordinator, I was very aware before I even got married that this was a thing. So it's completely normal. And the difficulty, and my heart just breaks for couples, and particularly it seems to be brides that feel it the most when they get in touch with me, but they have this overwhelming sense of guilt.
Yeah.
Because they have no one to talk to. They feel they can't say it because they'll be deemed as ridiculous. And it's, as somebody was saying, it's a first world problem. But like at the end of the day, if you feel down, you feel down, you know, and that's never a good place to be. So
yeah, how long can it last for, Sarah?
So it depends on the person. I think until the next distraction comes into your life and gives you something to do, that's pretty much what I would say. There's a couple of complex things. Like, I was fully aware of it, so I was well armed. I was changing jobs. We had things booked in terms of holidays. I knew I was going to be going out to Australia at some stage for a couple of weeks to see my family. So I had a few things in the diary so I had things to look forward to and things to, you know, just keep me on track. So I never really had that issue. And to be honest, I was delighted to see the back of it, which, again, lots of people feel that way as well. But the, you know, for some, they're kind of left kind of aimlessly with, you know, all this hype and then nothing that they're working towards, no holidays booked, no big honeymoon, no gathering, no sitting down on a Thursday night to write invitations and doing lovely things together and, you know, thinking about your relationship. And then there's this added pressure, which really adds fuel to the fire. Everybody, and this is a real, it's probably a global thing, but you really see it in Ireland, you know, this expectation that everybody has to get pregnant straight after getting married. So it's this added fuel to the fire, and it just really gets people down. And of course, if the pregnancy doesn't happen as quick as you want it to happen, and then you've got that layered on top.
And you may not even want it to happen yet.
You may not want to, and then you have people badgering you, and kind of every time you go out for a drink and you decide, I'm going to drive tonight, they're looking at you. So it's like, it's a never-ending cesspool of madness, but it is incredibly, it's hard, and people just feel they can't give out about it. They feel a bit too self-indulgent.
I can imagine it might cause some, you know, if it's the bride and then she's depressed afterwards, it might cause, the groom might be thinking, are you regretting this now? And it might cause a bit of tension in the relationships.
Well, this is it. I did have somebody get in touch with me, and they were like, they were really feeling the friction in the relationship as a result of it. And it was, you know, the other person wasn't able to really reconcile that it wasn't about them, that they just have been gone from this really high spirited, high excitable person to like flat and like, okay, here we are on a Tuesday making hake for dinner. Great. Like, you know, this, you know, it is that piece where it's, you know, you question things and then you're questioning it yourself going, God, am I happy? Did I make, you know, did I, was I blinded by all this excitement in the wedding that I didn't think about the relationship? But it's a dip in excitement.
Yeah.
You know, and it's non-sustainable either. You know, it's not like life always goes like that. But yeah, it's a challenge to navigate 100%.
What should you do then to at least try and mitigate it?
Well, I think being aware of it in advance of getting married so you can be armed. So number one is have other things plotted. So, you know, you would have been doing a lot of very heavy saving in the lead up to the wedding, meaning there were things that you just couldn't go and do. Like, go and book those things, whether it's a nice meal out in a restaurant you've always wanted to, go for a staycation. One of the big things, couples spend a huge amount of time looking after themselves, getting into shape in the lead up to the wedding, eating the best, looking after their skin. You know, they are the best version of themselves in a lot of cases. And then they just go cold turkey and stop that after their honeymoon. And then, so that's going to plummet. You're going to feel absolutely horrific if you're not looking after yourself and your self-care goes out the window. So you've gone from this, you know, exercise fueled, amazing hormonal state to this really like this dip where you're not getting that same level of energy in your body. You're not feeling the best mentally and it's all connected. So really make sure that you know in advance not to sacrifice or drop now your self-care because you've hit that goal of walking up the aisle on that day. So that's the other big piece. And I think if you do get that dip, just acknowledge it is a thing. And I think half the battle is knowing why you feel that way so you don't feel so bad. So if you do feel that way, saying, yeah, I do, and I really miss that day. It was such a lovely time. Aren't we so lucky to have had it? And, you know, you get that perspective and that gratitude for it. So you can you can kind of navigate that one a little bit easier. But I think as well, you know, don't beat yourself up. Don't feel guilty and talk to people. Like, you know, there's many, many brides feeling that way.
Yeah.
So get in a chat with them.
Is there anything to be said, though, because, you know, how big and expensive weddings can be, that, you know, maybe make a kind of slightly pragmatic decision of saying, well, we won't spend that amount of money. We'll cut down from 300 to a modest 250 and that money we'll use to kind of have a bit of fun after we get married.
Well, that's a great idea. Do you know? And I think that's the other thing. Like, you know, when we get very wrapped up in the wedding day itself, there's this vision that goes into, you know, many couples' minds of how it's meant to look. And then there's an awful lot of pressure then. And you kind of fall into the trap of, we have to add in this, we need this, we need this, we have to have X amount of people. You're absolutely well within your right to go, hold on, let's look at a big picture here and think about if we have the capacity to save and have that amount of money, maybe we start earmarking that €1,000 that we were going to spend on X, Y, Z and all of these people. And let's book a couple of breaks to get away, go for a city break, go, you know, so we have a little bit of a slow come down post honeymoon, or put that into really amazing things in your honeymoon as well. So yeah, 100%. Like it's about prioritization. And I think we fail to think of life beyond the wedding day, because we're so consumed on getting to that day and it going right and it going well. So I think that's the big piece, is just to kind of have that forward thinking is key.
Sarah, thanks a million for talking to us. A lot of sense in that. Sarah Kennedy there, the woman behind the Irish Wedding Blog. You are
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.